My name is Michelle O'Roon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 14th of September 2009, and the time is now 9:22 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please?
Okay, my name is Janet Kneller. I'm 42, and I live in Devon.
Hello, Janet.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Scared, but fine.
What are you scared of? Anything in particular?
Perhaps scared's not the right word. It's a mixture of excitement and anticipation. Yeah, it's good.
Where did you come in from this morning?
We're staying up in Covent Garden. So, not far. Making a weekend of it.
When was the last time you came to London?
3-4 months ago. We hadn't been for a very long time before that, but yeah, 3-4 months ago.
What did you do?
Pooed around all the usual touristy things, St Paul's, and yeah, good time.
Can you remember how you first heard about the One Another Project?
I think I might have seen it on the BBC website. It was just the usual thing, lunchtime at work, pooping around, and there was something very odd, and I put my name down and never thought anything would come of it.
What was it about the project that appealed to you?
For somebody shy, I have a horrible exhibitionist streak, and I think it kind of appealed to me somehow. It was just so sufficiently weird and eccentric that it just, yeah, okay, we'll see what happens, shall we?
Are you drawn to slightly weird and eccentric things?
As I get older, I get weirder, yes. No, it's just one of those things. I have moments. Every couple of years, I go and do something stupid. Last one, I threw myself off a 14-storey building for charity. Attached to a rope, abseiling, but yes. So every so often I have a mad moment, and this is the mad moment.
Which charity did you do that for?
That was Macmillan Cancer.
And can you describe what you're wearing for me today?
I am wearing a very fetching yellow polo shirt that says lifeguards on the top, and some rather shorter than I would like board shorts, very striking red, that also say lifeguards. I'm dressed as a RNLI lifeguard because I'm going to try and take the opportunity to raise some money for them today. And tucked away in a bag next door is a full yellow lifeboat crew suit together with helmet and sexy yellow wellies. So.
Why have you chosen to support this particular organisation?
I grew up by the sea. It's always been part of my life, the sea. And having moved back to Devon and coming back, it's just a natural thing to do. So.
Whereabouts did you grow up?
Bournemouth. So, and I moved away for about 10 years and then came back to Devon.
Do you feel you have to be near the sea?
Definitely. It's one of the things when we moved to Devon, we said we don't care where it is as long as we can walk to the beach and watch the waves. So, yeah.
Were you always a big swimmer as a child? Were you in the water a lot or not?
Yeah. Perhaps not quite so much in the sea, but yes, I was a water baby, definitely. Me and my dad all the time. So.
And then you moved away?
Yeah, I moved away to, I lived in Berkshire for 10, 12 years for work. And they happened to move back to Devon, and I couldn't resist the opportunity to move back with them. So,
what do you do for a living?
I work in computing. I'm a civil servant, but I work as a business analyst. So.
Were you doing something similar in Berkshire?
Yeah, work for them. I actually worked as a trainer in our training college for a while. So
just going back to what you were saying about when we were talking about this project, you said you're quite shy, but you're given to do
stupid things. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think they are stupid?
I'm sitting here at the moment, I'm having doubts, but it's one of those things that I thought, well, you're never ever going to have an opportunity like this again to go and stand on the fourth plinth and do whatever. And so, yeah, I couldn't resist it.
Are you going to be talking to anybody while you're there or doing something?
I have a book here which is full of lifeboat stories. So there are some specially written poems, not by me, I hasten to add. Some of the people at work have written poems especially for this, and one lady is involved with the East Devon branch of the National Poetry Society, and some of her colleagues have written poems especially for the occasion. And the other thing we're going to do is try and run a game of lifeboat bingo. So we have some we have some bingo cards specially made, and some numbers, completely odd numbers, so they go from one through to a number of dates, 1886 and a variety of things, that are all lifeboat related. So as we pull numbers out of the hat, we explain what the number is and what its significance is. So we're hoping we're going to get an audience. If not, I'm going to look very sad playing bingo on my own.
How did the RNLI react when you told them that you wanted to do this? Did you approach them?
Yeah. They were, as it happens, the man that lives next door to us is their local fundraiser, and he was very excited. He was very helpful. And they all have been, people here in London, the people in Plymouth, all over, they've been very, they've all been very, very helpful. And they've all been very, very supportive.
Have you learnt a lot more about the RNLI? You mentioned these dates which are important and the stories.
Yeah, it's been a real eye-opener for me as well. So that's part of the thing perhaps I'd like to try and get over to people is today is just some idea about how brave and courageous these lifeboat people are.
Do you have a particular favourite story?
No, they're all very, very remarkable in their own way. There is a story that I need to go and do some more research on, but there was back last century there was a rescue from Lynmouth in Devon, and the weather was so bad that they couldn't launch the lifeboat, this big wooden old-fashioned lifeboat, and they couldn't launch it from their normal site. So they dragged it by horse 11 miles across country so that they could launch it. I think this is just typical of these people, that they're bonkers too. But they're bonkers for a very good cause, for a very good reason.
Would you describe yourself as eccentric?
I have mad moments.
Did you choose three words to describe yourself on the profile?
I did. What did I choose? I think it says loving the adventure of life, and enjoying myself. And we only get one shot, so we might as well go and do daft things like this.
And you've brought your husband along today.
It's my partner.
Your partner?
Yeah. Yes, he thinks I'm raving mad, I think, doing this. But I think, I don't know, perhaps that's one of the reasons he likes me. I don't know.
When did you find out that you had a place?
4 or 5 weeks ago, and it's been a mad rush.
Had you already told your partner that you'd applied?
I did when I first applied back in May or whenever it was. I just didn't think anything would come of it. Really didn't. And then suddenly Saturday morning, I opened up the email, he's still in bed, and went, oh my God, what are we going to do about this now? And for a while I thought, no, we shall turn this down, I can't do this. But
why did you think so?
Well, it's just one of those kind of sheer panic moments. You think, what have I done? But then, so we're back to it being a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You're never, ever going to get that chance again. So,
did you panic when you went off the 14-storey building?
That was really weird. I didn't... Again, there was a several weeks lead-up, and I didn't think about it. Honestly didn't think about it until I was sat at the top of this building strapped up with the rope and going, that's a hell of a long way down. But then I think, well, at that point I had, I don't know, £800 in the pot for charity, and I can't not do this. So I think had I not had that, I might have backed out. But so,
has your partner been supportive?
He has, yeah. In a strange, quiet way, yes. He's put up with me being completely stressed.
Has it been stressful? Have you found it fun?
It's been both.
It's been both. It's the first couple of weeks until I worked out what I was going to do were a bit stressful, but yeah, now it gradually started coming together, and the last week it's really started to gel. So.
Did you have lots of different ideas about what you might do?
No, it just sort of, once the lifeboat thing occurred to me, which was very, very early on, because I knew that I didn't want to go and stand there just for me. I wanted somebody else to benefit from it. It was selfish to go and stand there and not make an opportunity for somebody else to benefit. And once the lifeboats came up, it just kind of took a life of its own. And of course, you have a ready-made costume and all the stories and the poems, and it's now got a life of its own, really.
So will you be asking people to donate online?
We do have a website. We have a Just Giving website, www.justgiving/JanOnTheStand, with lots of hyphens in. We've also got permission from the GLA to do a collection on the square, or on the square today, on this morning during the hour. So my partner and a very nice lady from the RNLI will be coming along, and they'll be getting shaking the buckets.
Was it difficult to arrange that?
No, I thought it might be, but it was really easy. I got an email address from One Another and emailed off to the Trafalgar Square management, and back it came almost within the hour. So it was great.
How do you spend your time when you're not working?
I do all sorts of things. I'm involved in a community choir, the Timoth Community Choir, and I sing very, very badly, so I'm not going to do that today. That was one of my first decisions. We do a strange thing called geocaching, which is kind of a high-tech treasure hunt.
Could you just explain a bit about that?
There's a website, and on it are pages for each describing a location of a box. Now, some of them are small film canisters, some of them are up kind of typical Tupperware lunchbox size. Some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller. And you get a GPS and it gives you coordinates, and away you go and find these things and log them. Very, very sad, but you do end up strange places that you would never ever end up.
Are these in Devon?
All
these places,
worldwide.
Worldwide?
Yeah, there's one about 100 yards from where we are. Over there. So yeah, it's astonishing. In London there's
the website
hundreds.
For this?
This is www.geocaching.com.
And how many treasure hunts have you been on?
Well, there are I don't know what it is, something like 850,000 boxes worldwide. Don't look at me like that. And yes, we've got a grand total of, I don't know, 520 or something at the moment. So we've been at this 4 or 5 years now. So.
And you found boxes.
Yeah, and we've put boxes out, and it's all run by the geocaching community. So you put caches out, boxes out for other people to find. So.
And how much have you amassed, do you think?
Amassed?
Yeah, how much have you collected for all the boxes that you've found?
No, sorry, it's not cash in money terms. It's
cash in, as in
it's cash as in
some sort of booty.
It's yes. Yeah. So
what have you amassed?
There's a number of things. Most of what's in the boxes are kiddie type things, so there's crayons and plastic jewellery and sorts of stuff. But there are things called travel bugs which have little dog tags on, so you might have a little teddy bear with a dog tag on, and you give it a mission and it wanders around the world on its own. It's all very, very sad.
Does your partner do this?
Yes. Oh yes. We started because we did Dartmoor letterboxing, which is a kind of old fashioned version of this. So there are Tupperware boxes out on Dartmoor that have rubber stamps on, and you just go and collect an imprint and the rubber stamp. So this is a wider version of this. Yeah.
another slightly eccentric activity.
Are you looking forward to going up on the plinth now?
Yeah. I'm quite looking forward to get it over with, get it started, and then we'll see how it goes.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'd like to say thank you, I think, to all the people that have been generous so far, and they have been very generous. I'd like to say thank you to my partner, because he's been very, very supportive. And thank you to you guys, because you're wonderful.
Thank you very much. Time for you to go and get changed now.